You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We don't wait to determine where our gifts come from. Someone prophesies to us, and we think that the prophecy means we should get up and run right away. 25 years for Abraham. We are taught that David was anointed king at 16. And then he went through two other anointings before he finally became king of all Israel. God waits to get us out of the way. I need you to understand, even though I know that this concept is difficult for Western capitalism, is that God does not need our help. He just needs our surrender. When the usher goes in to get my glass, to put my water and ice in, they do not ask the glasses, which one of you wants to be used today? They pick the one they want. And I would hazard a guess that if one of the other ushers told the water usher which glass to use, they would use the one they wanted and not the one the other usher told them to use. Because we're going to use what we want to use. But we don't give God the same right. When he wants to use somebody, we put them down and say, no, you're not ready. But God is making them ready. Let me go on. I spent a lot of time in this, and it's so much in me, and I don't get a whole lot of time to give it out. I only see you once a week. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter 7, when Moses was born, he was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. See, his mama had him for 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. See there? 3 months mama had him. And then when he was done, Pharaoh's daughter took him in. And it said, and in the house of Pharaoh, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, many of us in here today are mighty in the wisdom of this world, but not in the wisdom of God. We know what to do from the world's position, but not in God's. I will suggest to you that God's wisdom is the anti-type of the world. That means that if the world tells you to turn left, God will tell you to turn right, because God is different than the world. When someone comes up to you and says, oh, you're really gifted. You ought to be pastoring. You ought to be preaching. You ought to be prophesying. You ought to be doing so and so. Don't go until God tells you. And the only way, now listen carefully because I need you to hear this correctly. The only way God will tell you is when he tells your leader. So that concept, I hear from God for myself and I make my own decisions, is wrong. There is not one portion of scripture to validate independent anointings and separate ministries. I'll prove it to you real quick. Paul was Saul back when he was still in Judaism, and he persecuted the church. A Pharisee, he gives us his resume in the book of Philippians. A Pharisee, history tells us he was a member of the Sanhedrin Council, which meant he was extremely intelligent and legalistic. And he encounters Jesus on his way to fulfill his Pharisaical duties by either killing or imprisoning those people who say they're Christians. He meets Jesus. When he meets Jesus, Jesus saves him for all intents and purposes. But what Jesus does afterwards is connects him with somebody who can validate his ministry. Then, that was Ananias. Then he puts him with Barnabas, who takes him to Jerusalem so that the leadership can validate his message. Now, this man was arrested by Jesus. Why did he need anybody to validate him when Jesus made him an apostle? We have people now that go out and do whatever they want to do without leadership validation. Why? They don't want to wait on God. They don't know if they should be doing it. God told me. God didn't tell you that. You told you. There are three people that speak to you: God, the devil, and you. God gave me this person for my husband. God gave me this person for my wife. I question that. Because no one that has ever said God gave them a person will ever pick somebody who doesn't look as good as they want them to look. God has never given a person someone whose looks are a three. Why is it always somebody that everybody else wants? Let me move on. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom. So verse 22. What do you think is happening when Moses is learning Egyptian wisdom? It's conflicting with Hebraic teaching. See, the Bible doesn't fill in all the gaps, but let's just speculate. It's okay. He knows he has a Jewish connection. He knows he has some Hebraic inside. Maybe he's talking to some of those Jews. Maybe as he grows older, he's slipping into the village to talk to his mom and dad. Maybe he's talking to his siblings. There's no biblical proof that he isolated himself and never again reached out to his brethren. Something is causing him to feel connected. Something is causing him to feel that he needs to do something when he sees his brethren oppressed. This cannot be done if he's isolating himself. You see, so many of us, when we move out of the hood and we move into the sophisticated areas, we never go back through the hood. And so we become bougie. And then the moment you become bougie, you become critical and judgmental of those who are still in the hood. I'm so glad God pulled me out of there. Child, I ain't got no reason to go back there. Yes, you do. I go through my old neighborhood monthly. Just ride in my car, stop, and find people, if there are any left alive, find people that I can talk to. Find people that I was connected with. What does it do? It keeps you connected. It helps you realize you didn't just drop in to where you are, that God had to intervene and bring you from someplace else to bring you here. It keeps you humble when you're in touch. Oh, my friends, why did Jesus keep going back to his hometown? And so Moses had to have had some connection, because the Bible says in verse 23, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. See, This doesn't just drop in there. The text writes it in a way where you think that he waited till he was 40 to drop in there. No, I suspect that there were some secret incursions into the area in the 20s and 30s. And now at 40, he's fully a man. And he says, I'm going to drop in now because I can do something. I have power. I have prestige. I have position. And I'm going to use it to help my people. Now, you would think that God would be in heaven rejoicing over the fact that he now has a warrior who's 40 years old, which meant that his maturity level is there, which means that his brain and his mind are matured as well. He understands right from wrong. He doesn't need to be motivated by the capricious desires of those around him. He is not being pushed by people any longer. He can make his own decisions, and he's decided that he needs to help his brother. God makes a promise to Abraham and says that your seed will be strangers in a strange land for 400 years, and then I'm going to visit them. He doesn't say how. He just says, then I'm going to visit them and bring them out. And no one knew that Moses was the tool of visitation. At 40, the text says, it came into his heart to visit his brother and the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. Now, isn't that great? The first Malcolm X saw the Egyptian beating on his brother, came down and took him out. And the Bible, when it takes you over into the book of Exodus, it says he buried him in the sand. It had to be a shallow grave because he was a prince of Egypt, and he probably didn't walk around carrying shovels. So he dug a shallow grave and threw this Egyptian in there, suspecting that the children of Israel would think, oh, this is great. But that wasn't God's way. Why? Why didn't God just use Moses? Well, he would use Moses, but Moses wasn't ready. Why? Moses did not have a God view of himself. He had a personal view of himself. That's what provided the motivation for him to kill the Egyptian. He did not have a God view. And so the text goes on and says, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. What's the underlying principle in verse 25? He figured that the people would say, God sent you to help us, so we are beholden to you. You ever notice how people, when they do something for you, they remind you that they've done it? If it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't have that car. If it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't have this job. If it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't be in this position. No. Everything comes from the hand of God, whether good or bad. It comes from the hand of God. Isaiah tells us, God said, I make good and evil. God sends everything into your life. Here's the difference. When he sends a blessing, he sends you grace and patience and humility to handle it. When he sends a trial or something negative, he sends you strength and his presence to go through it. Both of them require assistance from God. So when you get any kind of blessing, financial, physical, mental, emotional, relational, go to God and ask for grace so you don't make foolish mistakes with this particular issue. Because if you're not careful, the blessing can take you away from God. I've seen more people backslide after they've become ministers than before. Because it's almost as if I don't need to come to prayer anymore because I'm a minister. I don't need to come to Bible study because I'm a minister. I don't need to come to all-night prayer because I'm a leader. I don't need to do any of those things because I'm a leader. No, no. You see, but if the people who appointed these individuals had have waited, they would have seen that character develop. So when the Bible says we're to wait, what are we waiting for? Keep reading. And the next day he showed himself unto them, as they argued. The Bible teaches us over in Exodus, what happens was the two Israelites were arguing about something, and Moses came over and decided he would be a judge. All right, you brothers, come on, don't be fighting. Don't do this. He figured, now I can tell everybody what to do because I killed me an Egyptian. And the scripture says that they looked to Moses and said in verse 28, will you, or verse 27, but he did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? See, people don't recognize your self-made authority. There are folks who will get up and run after somebody when they start a church, only to find out there's nothing up there. It's just a bunch of style over substance. And we find this out with, you know, there is a plethora of preachers on television, so much so, that it's downright discouraging and also confusing. We're taught from history that prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor, the Japanese flooded the airwaves with phony messages with the hope of deceiving the Allies to go in a different direction. And that's what the devil is doing now. He has just anybody and everybody on television preaching stuff to you that is not biblical. And so when you come to a place where sound doctrine is taught, you can't receive it because your minds are so filled with the wrong stuff. You see, it's the enemy that'll sit on your shoulder and say, Pastor ain't using you. Go somewhere where you can be used. But don't you understand? It's not Pastor Lambert that uses you. It's God. And if God has you sitting on a shelf, like the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, then there's a reason for it. And you're showing lack of character by not being able to wait. You think God has forgotten about you, that you're going to stand before him with unfulfilled ministry? Watch this. Maybe your ministry is waiting. Go to 1 Kings 17. Now I want to teach you the process of waiting. And then we're going to go to 1 Kings 18. Now, in 1 Kings 17, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, verse 1, of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Okay, so he comes in and he gives the prophecy. What's the prophecy? No rain, watch, till I say so. See, that's a true prophet of God. He didn't say till the Lord said so, because anybody who knew of his prophetic ministry knew that his words were God's words. So he said, there won't be any dew or rain till I say so. So there'll be no moisture. So that translates into no vegetation. Now, God's plan is in verse 15. That's God's plan. 14. That's God's plan. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now, this is God's plan. God's plan is to send provision for Elijah and others. And Elijah is to be the messenger. Now, we know that Elijah had speaking faith because he went to the Ahab and said, no more rain till I say so. And then the Bible says in verse 3, of 2 rather, of 17, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. So he's waiting while he's receiving. What's he waiting for? His view of God to be enlarged. Right now, he has a Brook Kereth faith. You hear me? Now, God's plan is over there to provide for a lot of people. But the instrument is not ready. God did not tell him when he pronounced the judgment to Ahab, go on over to Zarephath and take care of that woman and her family. He wasn't ready. So he had to learn how to get raven support. Are you hearing me? You gotta hear me. He starts out giving him ravens, but ends up giving him a poor woman. Now what's the similarity? Neither one of them have anything. The raven doesn't have a storehouse of meat. He doesn't have bread. He's an unclean bird. What is God doing? Stretching his faith while he's waiting. Lord, I wish I had a people. I can't get no help. When God is providing for you and you are receiving your Kirith blessing, it is because he's equipping you to take you to the next level where you are not only blessed, but you become a blessing to somebody else. I can't get no help up in here. Think with me, please. Think with me. Why not just leave him at Kirith and bless him? Because the goal of God is not just to bless us. It is to turn us into blessings. But if we have not been totally convinced of our position in him, we will never go to our Zarephath widow. We will hold on to our blessing and testify about what God is doing for us and not see that we are being prepared for somebody else.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Power of Waiting, or the program number 12418A. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Sisters Pursuing Adonai Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a Journey with the King Women's Service on Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Come out for an intimate time of worship and hear an impactful message from Bethel's women's pastor, Crystal Mance. Don't miss this special gathering that is designed to equip and prepare you for your life's journey with the King. It's taking place Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. Call 215-885-2585 for more information or visit BethelDeliverance.org.